topic today is to try and work out specifically about Esrog, but the general concept of what's known as beer, which is that there is a mitzvah in the Torah, a perish shvius, to do an act called beer. Now, maybe you know what beer chometz, beer means to destroy it. So does it mean the same thing over here or not? Does it mean something else? So we're going to start looking at page one.
I thought I had the wrong source sheets because it starts with Psachim.
Right.
I'm in the wrong Indian now. Then I wrote right back. I saw you had Sukkos and Shemitah.
Okay. So now, if you go, I marked off about Tan Rabbanan, which is about 10 lines down. Go back a little before that. Go back about 5 lines before that. So Morris and Menachem Mili, this halacha that there's a concept called beer. And it is area specific. It's really what the question was more is dealing with. That beer is area specific. What does that mean? Omer of Chama bar Uka Omer of Yersi bar Chanina Omer Kroa. The pasuk says that the produce of Shemitah should be available for the Niyim and the Ashirim, for all of Klal Yisrael. It should also be available for the animals. Your animals, which means your domesticated animals, your private, but you own, and lechayos shebratzecha, and for the wild animals, so the produce is available for everything in the bria to eat. So why does it the pasuk ties the two together? So the more understands like this: as long as it's available for the chaya in the field, then you have a right to take some of the produce and feed your animal in the house. However, if there's no longer available for the chaya in the field, so therefore you must remove, destroy, ends that which is for the animal in the house. So the word kalei can mean kiloyon, which is to destroy, kalei or end, lashon of tachlis, that's the end of something, at the end. So it's not a clear word. So if it ends, if it runs out in the field, kalo lachai minasada means it doesn't mean it was destroyed, it means it was eaten. So it ended, so kalei lebehem tochum in abayis. So you have to remove it from the house. Now the question which is before, the Mishnah says in Shmias, which more quotes on the second line, that we separate the different areas for beer purposes. And more says because we can marry Dein Chai Shabihuda Gdela al Perish Begalil, Dein Chai Shabigalil Gdela Perish Yehuda. So the wild animals in Yehuda don't travel up to the Galil to get fruits, and vice versa. So if the fact that there's the all produce has been completed and finished and consumed in Galil doesn't affect Yehuda, and vice versa. So see, we look at each section, each area independently. Okay, so that's the source in the Torah of a concept called beer. This concept that if it's not available for the animals in the field, you have to remove it from the house. What does it mean? So if you look at the next piece of Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Perish Shiyotzu Mi Eretz Yisrael L'chutz L'Oretz, Perish Shvius, which left Eretz Yisrael, the Loch is Misbayer Mekom Lachem Shehen. They are to be Misbayer wherever they are. Now, what does Misbayer mean? So, what exactly do you do to be Mevayer them? So, the Gemara doesn't say what that is. So Rashi Mishum Shinar Bar Artsakha. It's about halfway down the page. So the Rashi says Bezel Biuran. A little more than halfway down the page. Bezel Biuran Shemaf Kiran Bemokim Drisis Kayo Behema. So Rashi says that means you put them out Hefker in a place where they're going to be trampled on by animals. So Rashi seems to understand that means that the concept of the beer is to destroy them. If you look at Tosfos Mispar Mekom Lachem Shehem, Pirsha Kuntres, Shenosinoi Son Lemir Meschayu Behema. You place them in a place where they're going to be trampled by the animals. Blonira, Tosfos says that I disagree with this understanding. Talmud Torah Laachra Beer Laniim Kliyama. After beer, they're permitted to eat. So why should you destroy them if they're permitted to eat? The non-hosom, Mishoyul Perish Shvius, Vigia Shasa Beer. A person has Perish Shvius, when the time of the beer comes, mechalkin mazon shalosh sudos lechol echad. You take what you have, you divide it up to people, and give each person three meals worth. Now we have a machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, who's allowed to eat after beer. Rabbi Yehuda says only the aniyim. Rabbi Yossi says even the ashirim. But you see that you're allowed, there's definitely some people are allowed to eat it after beer. So why should you destroy it if you're allowed to eat it afterwards? Furthermore, with the sefta ketani, mi sheyesh leperish shvius, person has produce of shvius. We give shas a beer, and the time of beer comes. So mechalkan mehem leshchenov lekroiva b'lo yadov. So he takes what he has, and he apportions it, divides it out amongst the people which are available, neighbors, relatives, people that he knows. And then he puts the remainder outside of his house, and he says, "Achenu Beis Yisrael, my brothers, mi shetzarach lito yito. Whoever needs can come and take." And after having done that, he's allowed to take also. He's not worse than anybody else, right? He made it available for everybody to take, so he can also take advantage of that. The Locha says we follow those choices, and we said that you should do it in front of, you need to do it in front of three people. It has to be three people. You're mafkarit in front of three people, and therefore the people could take it. And if they choose not to, and then you take it again, fine. So Rashi learns that you destroy it. Tosfos learns you don't destroy it, but you must remove it from your home, remove it from your ownership. Okay, that's the second. That's the main point of Tosfos.
The people in Galil had to be aware of the supply throughout their district, at least, or just their own fields.
The district. Oh. The district. Right. Now, where Marie, the Tosfos continues and says, "Ahad Mashal b'chol makom." Lesser lechol achar beer. We find in the indications that there is an issur to eat after beer, which doesn't seem to fit with what we just said. Haynu kishemasha bebeisu becheska shaloi. If he doesn't do beer and he keeps it in his house against the halacha that he should have been mafkaritz, so then there's a kanas that he can't benefit, that he can't eat it. However, avol imafkiroi umetziam rishusoi. If he's mafkar like he's supposed to. That's now available for whoever wants. It's available for human consumption or animal consumption. Then you'll be allowed to eat it afterwards. So Tosfos is very strong. We have clear rayas that you're allowed to eat after the beer. And therefore, the concept of the beer just means to be mafkar. The Ramban and Chumash also learns like Tosfos that the mitzvah of beer is just means to be mavar min habayis. You remove it from your home. It's different than beer chametz that you destroy it. It doesn't mean destroying it. It means being mafkar. There is halacha. If you weren't mafkar, it comes out, then you can't benefit from it, and it's also teet. That is true, but that's a specific issue with that. Okay, so the halacha follows the sheet of Tosfos. We'll see the Rambam has a different shot also, but the Milchah does not follow the Rambam in this point. Most Pesachim Paschim like the Sheet of Tosfos, that you not need to destroy it. What you need to do with beer means you take it out of your house and you make it hefker. When is beer? So beer is when it runs out in the fields. That's how the vast majority of people learn. Chassidish writes that nowadays, that when you have a very large wild animal population, so that was the measurement. Nowadays, you know, many fruits just stay in the trees, and they stay and they stay and they stay, because the wild, when it gets to the point that the fruit on the tree starts to wither and become useless, it starts to spoil, that's said that would be this amount of beer. It's no longer available for animals, because what's available is not really, it's not good anymore. So based on that criteria, so the if it's based on something like the animals, it's hard to really predict exactly when the beer is, because you know, we don't know. It's going to be some type of a prediction. It's based on the nature of the tree. So we have a pretty good indication of how long items stay in the tree after they ripen, how long they start to go bad, depending on weather circumstances, etc. So they can give you a fairly good estimate when the Zman of Beer is going to be, and sometimes as it gets closer they'll fine-tune it. But there are still available beer tables that they have a table which they list the Zman of Beer for various different fruits. Most of the fruits we mentioned in the last year that fruit is defined, its Shemitah status is defined by when it had a chanota. When it went from the bud, it went from the point where the bud became a flower, inside the flower is the beginnings of the making of a fruit. And that's the, so therefore something which had its chanota in the Shemitah year, even though it's fully ripens and is picked after the Shemitah year, has a din of Shemitah. So the fruits which are available from Eretz Yisrael right now would be Shemitah fruits. So when it says Zman HaBir, each fruit is differently. You look at your list and you tell you that apples will, the Zman HaBir is going to be sometime in January, and they'll tell you that the Esrogim, they usually assume is around Shvat time, but because till then they're usually available. There's interesting Ritvaz was a Birsa Dover who was originally Rav in Slutsk, eventually came to America, became a Rav, the Rav Karl in Chicago for a period of time. And after spending a period of time in America, he said that the Torah is not going to flourish in America, at least not under the circumstances which existed in 1905. And he went to Eretz Yisrael and became one of the big Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. And the Ritvaz said that nowadays, like the Pasuk Chazal say, the Pasuk says that Esroigim stay in the tree from year to year. So if the criteria is not wild animals, the criteria is the fact that they don't function on the tree at some point in time. So there's no Zman HaBir for Esroigim. The Maisa, the modern day person can point out that's what was happening in his time. The modern day person disagree with him and just say that the nature of the way it's functioned nowadays is Esroigim. They don't leave Esroigim on from year to year because they can maintain themselves to some level, but they don't do well. So they don't keep them from year to year. So there is a point where it's called the behema mina bias. Kol lachai mina soda. So the assumption usually is this mana beer for Esroigim is Shvat.
In terms of peiros, these laws apply only to the fruits of the tree, or no, the fruits of the ground too?
Fruits of the ground, it applies to also grains, vegetables, etc. The issue which you mentioned last time, there's a concept called svichim, which means many of your grains and vegetables are not mutter to eat anyway. So obviously the whole question of beer is irrelevant because you can't eat them anyway. The places where it comes up is the following. Utsu bezdin, svichim are not aser. So, it's a bezin produce, which would be vegetables or grains, would have a din of beer. While it's by the Utsu Bezdin, it doesn't need beer according to the Ramban, because the beer means making it hefker, but when it's by the Utsu Bezdin, it's hefker. That's how the logic behind Utsu Bezdin, right now it belongs, it's available for anybody who wants it. Once a person takes possession of it, he would have a din of beer. That's actually that Ramban, which talks about Utsu Bezdin, part of what he's talking about is this idea that the concept of beer doesn't apply to Utsu Bezdin because Utsu Bezdin works because it's they're basically holding it for everybody in Klal Yisrael. Now, one of the questions which comes up is Yivul Nachri in Eretz Yisrael. Yivul Nachri, there's no Yisrael Svichim on Yivul Nachri. The Goyish, that which is produced in fields owned by non-Jews. Not someone had to make here. Goy owns, Arab owns a piece of land and he's cultivating, etc. So there's no Israel Svichim. So you're allowed to buy those fruits, those vegetables, you're allowed to buy that grain, there's no problem with Svichim. Does it have Kedusha Shriyas? And a key of beer. So the Chazanish says yes. So you could buy Yivul Nachri and you would have a key of beer on it. So it's the issue of buying it, it's not an issue of buying it because it belongs to the guy. He's allowed to sell it to you. He's allowed to do business with it. He's allowed to cultivate it. That's all his business. But the fruits itself have Kedusha Shriyas, you have a chiyuv of beer on it. The Minig Yerushalayim is not like the Chazon Ish. the based on the fact that there's a separate Pasa Shulchan, which I mentioned last time. The Pasa Shulchan was the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon Rabbi Yisrael from the city of Shklov, and he led a group of Talmidim of the Gaon and families to move to Eretz Yisrael, and that's the nucleus of the Eder Haredis, the Ashkenazi Eder Haredis, was those Talmidim. And he wrote a sefer to address a lot of the agricultural halachas called Pasa Shulchan. And the Minig Yerushalayim is the fellow that his psak on that, he holds that it doesn't have Kedusha Shvius. Something which is produced in a non-Jewish field doesn't have a din of beer, doesn't have Kedusha Shvius. So Minig Yerushalayim is like that. Minig Bnei Brak is like the Chazanish. And everybody else...
What's the Chazanish study?
What I said before. Correct. So I think it seems to be pretty much standard. Outside of Yerushalayim, most people follow the Chazon Ish at that point. And Yerushalayim is like that. So theoretically, beer would be negeah by vegetables and grains, according to the Chazon Ish. It was cultivated in a non-Jewish field, so it is relevant. But for a large part. In Yerushalayim, that's not going to be relevant. Arche Bezin would be relevant. But otherwise, Sichem Rasser anyway. So now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says like this. Parashiyotzu me'eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz mispar b'kol mokom shehein. So you do beer wherever you are. So right, now, what's the definition of wherever you are? I mean, wherever it means wherever you are, but it means how you decide. So that was a discussion in the Gemara before. Do you decide based on where the payers came from, or where you are now, or both? So the Gemara comes out, we're machmer both ways. So if it's no longer available where it came from, that's a problem. Even if it is still available over there, if it's not available over here, it's also a problem. So, but the Kiddush over here is even in the Chutz Lords. They beer has to be done in Eretz Yisrael. It says, so it has to be done, the beer has to be done in Eretz Yisrael. So Mordechai says, one second. We use the word Artzacha in the previous Gemara to we're stressing each place that there are different districts. And we look at each section of Eretz Yisrael. Independently, we look at your land, meaning that section of Eretz Yisrael. So Moses says, okay, we have a drasha for both. Karbe be'eretz, ba'artzacha, kudas be'eretz ba'artzacha, namiyasher be'artzacha. Fine. So the Moses story. Rav Safra, nofeg me'eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz. He left Eretz Yisrael, l'haba ba'dei garba d'chamra, d'shviyas. He had a container of wine, which was shvita wine. Okay. So Tosfos will deal with the question why he's allowed to take it out, because there's an Isser, there's a Mishnah that says you may not take out Perish Shriyas from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. So Tosfos deals with the question.
We'll see. Outside of Eretz Yisrael.
We'll see Tosfos in a moment. So the Morse says he left. So now the question, now it came time for beer. The question was, did he have a responsibility to get that wine back to Eretz Yisrael, or could he be Mavire it where it is? That was the question. So, so he was accompanied in his travels with these two other Tzvinich Chachamim. Armelus, Rav Safra said to these to Rav Huna Breda of Ika and Rav Kahana, Ika the Shmir Le Minei Der Bevo, did either of you hear from our Rebbe, Rebbe Yevo, Halacha Kib Shimon Elazar, or Eloi, is Halacha Kib Shimon Elazar, you must bring it back there to sell, or may you destroy it wherever you are. Did our Rebbe give a psak on that issue? That he heard from Rabbi Avo, the law is like Rabbi Shimon Elazar, you must bring it back there to Israel. So now we had two rabbis, two opinions. So Rav Safra and the Kurt Haiklola, the Rav Huna Biyodecho, the Daik of Gomer Shmaitim and Puma the Rabbi. So Rav Huna Biyodecho is known to get it more clearly and more precisely than other people. Therefore, I'm going to rely on his version of what Rabbi Vo said. The law is not like Rishon Lazar, and I do not have to return it back to Eretz Yisrael. That's now regards to paskening. Most the more we continue on a little bit more the talks about this, but most paskening paskening, you do not need to return it to Eretz Yisrael. Based on the fact that we're more saying that we're going to rely on his version of Rabbi Avoh, we don't pass the Gershom and Elazar, and you may be Mavar wherever you are. So, Lachar Bir can be done in Chutz Lords. So, I have my Esrog, and it comes Shvat. So, I have to do Bir in my Esrog. I can do Bir over here also. When I do Bir, I take it, put it outside of my house, and I get three people, and I say, I declare it to Rabbi Isai, you should know that I will make this available for anyone who wants to take it, may take it, and fine, if they so choose, if somebody chooses to do so, fine, I wake up the next morning, it's still there, I can take it back in the house, and that's it, that's all I have to do. So that would be the chiyuv of Bir. However, I cannot keep it in my house. Now that's if I work down to science, you know exactly what time the beer is, you know exactly what time to do the beer. So I say it's Shvat. So when in Shvat? I don't know. So if I maintain it, then when the key of beer comes, then it becomes us. So if I'm after it on the first of Shvat, then I reclaim it on the second of Shvat, and truly the day of beer is the third of Shvat. When the third of Shvat comes, I have it in my possession. So that'd be a problem. So what do you do?
Must have a table for that too.
What?
Somebody must have
so theoretically, you could try and make a table for that also.
Is this like not a good?
We're having a shit now. That was my thought process. So the Chazanish suggests you can do one of two things. You can put it out. Let's say we have a span of a week or two, which we believe is the Safik, that period of time. And so as long as you're mafkir before the beginning of that time, even if you retrieve it, as long as you're not kind of it, you say I'm taking it back. I'm not being kind of it right now. So nobody else. I made it hefker. It was available. I was mavayir it. So the state of beer continues until I reacquire it. It seems like I've retrieved it. If I haven't reacquired it, it's not going to be a problem. So that's probably the best answer for that. It's hard to get it down to exact science, exactly which day is the day, you know. I'll tell you a joke about it afterwards. Okay. Now, Tosafot over here raises the question: so, how did Rav Safra do this? Rav Safra in the Abakar with the Chamer Meiritz of the Chutz Lorah takes a Rivo, Tam Perik Vav the Shvius, Eman Si and Shemin Shreva Peris Shvius Mina Oritz the Chutz Lorah. You may not take Peris Shvius to Chutz Lorah. So, how in the world do you take this container of wine to Chutz Lorah to start with? Vatirat the Hosam Mari Lachila. That is to take it out to eat. Rav Safra Apik Lischar the Ishkar Shemuteris. There's cases where certain cases of business which are permitted, certain things are not permitted, certain things are permitted. Tosis, we spoke about the Tosis. Tosis says in Sukkah, if you originally took the item for yourself and then you realize you had extra, you may do business with it. It's only if you took it originally for the purpose of business that it's also. Inami was showing you see the more sustained the case was he didn't realize that this was that he had it with him. He didn't realize that it was Perish Trius. He gets the Chutz Lorah, says Gabal Nevel, this is Perish Trius wine. You know, I walked into Shalom's one time. I mean, a little bit scary to me. I walk into Shalom's and I see, look at a bottle of wine. It was about 2 or 3 years ago, and it's Shemitah wine. So I have no idea. I'm assuming that as far as I know, there wasn't beer. It was in possession of some company, when it was holding it. Either was the wholesaler or the retailer was, you know. So where was the beer?
What? I don't know. It's
wine. It said on it. It said the year, and then I said that I looked at the year. Okay, that's great. You know. But it was a 2009. You could argue maybe, but it said the Hebrew year. So I know what the Hebrew year is. I don't, it's not hard to figure out the math. You know,
it's the one that counts,
right? So So Bishoyga Gutsio, that's a possibility. Fine. So that's this Gemara. Let's take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam has a definition, explanation of what beer is. Let's see the number page two. We'll see the Rambam. Perishvias in Erchlam Mem Ela Kozman Shoysa Min Motzi Besod. You cannot eat perishvias only to the point in time where that item is still available. Shneimer Olubahemtov LaChayah Shabatzechati Kozbos Alechol has to be available for the behema and the chayah. Kozman Shachayah Chelus Min Zeh Min Asoda At the Oichol Min Mashu Rabayis. As long as it's available for the wild animals in the fields, you can eat it what you have in the house. Kol LaChay Min Asoda Chay Lavaris Min Min Abayis. So beer shall perishvias. So you must remove it. Ketzad, an example. Horatio Hoyer Lagroger Shrias beside Beso. He has dried figs of Shrias in his house. Man calls a mancha, tatum beelon is beside. As long as there's figs on the trees, you're good. Call a tatum in a soda. Once there's no longer figs on the trees in the fields, Osterlechom, Oyster Shabbayas, Elmavirus, and you can't eat them anymore. You have to destroy them. So what do you do? Hoyer Paris Merubin. So Rambam quotes the Tosefta that Tosefta says. So the Mishnah says that you divide up three meals worth to each person. So I have X amount of figs. So you say, well, normal meal you would wash. The definition of meals was with washing usually. So you would have X amount of figs together with your bread, and I can keep that amount of figs for myself. I can give it to my son, I can give it to my wife, I can give it to my neighbor, I can give it to whoever I want, and I can do that. And then whatever's left over, it's a problem. It's usher to eat afterwards. Now remember, Tosafot quoted two opinions, Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said it's mutter for aniyim only and not for ashirim. Rabbi Yosi said it's mutter for aniyim and ashirim. The Rambam says it's also for both. Right, so that's a question which the Nosei Kelim of the Rambam, the Rambam apparently had a different girsa in Rabbi Yosi. Not that it's mutter for aniyim and ashirim, that's usher for aniyim and ashirim. Okay. If you do not find people to eat it, so the idea behind the Motzei Gimel Sudas is the day of the beer comes. Okay, so let's sit down and eat. So the day of beer, I don't have to eat mevarek and eat. So I take three meals worth, you take three meals worth, you take three meals, everybody takes three meals, then we sit down and we have a party. Whatever, you didn't find people available to eat it. The rest you have to destroy be'esh. So Rama learns that beer means like beer chomet, you have to destroy it by fire. Or you can destroy it any way you want, you can destroy it. So it has to be destroyed in some way or other. So this is the Rambam that's following the opinion of Rashi. Rashi says you have to put it out available to be trampled. It has to be destroyed. Now the Torah's language was remove it from the house. So the question Rashi is addressing is where do you see it removing from the house that has to be destroyed? So the idea was to move from the house and put it in a place where it will be trampled upon. So Rambam was following the same idea, remove it from the house and have it destroyed. Where the fire comes in, that's a good question. And that they grapple with exactly where the Rambam gets the idea of Aish. But the Rambam does have this halacha of between Mechal Gmoth and Shalosh Shudas Lecholech Levechot. So here's the question now in the Rambam. So Moth and Shudas Lecholech Levechot, in what time frame do they need to eat it? Choices being, they could say, listen, today's the last day for the figs. You take three meals worth of figs, and we have three meals, and you have three meals. The assumption of Allah had it been Shabbat, you'd have three meals, so that we can say, well, even the weekday, they usually ate two meals. We can get three meals worth, and you'll figure out what to do with it. But it has to be consumed today. And as of tomorrow, the Rambam says it's all osir. Whatever wasn't destroyed by that point, eaten by that point in time is osir. And it has to be burnt. Or it means that which you, in other words, is that the pshat is, let's say, is the idea that eating is a way to fulfill the concept of beer. It has to be gone by that point in time. So I could eat it, or I could burn it. Is that the pshat? Or the pshat is that the whole chiyuv of beer kicks in beyond what's normal for a person to have. Or it's, the idea is you can't act as the owner anymore. The Ramban says you take on your mafkarit. Tosafot says you take on your mafkarit. Right? You're not the owner. Well, but they have a day's worth of food. That's not showing ownership. That's showing that means that even an owner, you give him food to eat. Right? He needs to eat on something. He has to live on something. So that's not indicative of ownership. It's more indicative of the fact that we're being taken care of for our needs. So we'll give you today's worth of food. So if I choose to eat it tomorrow, that's my business. other words, the level where the concept of beer kicks in is you're holding large stores of this item. Excuse me, you have the right to hold large stores of this item, make it available for other people. You're not really the owner. It belongs to Hashem. It's Hashem's produce. It's Shemiah's. The land is Hashem's. Make it available for everybody. Get out of your house. Okay. But the person says, you want to eat the breakfast? I have nothing against you eating breakfast. You know, you're not worse than the guy in the street who asks for a handout. He has the right to eat breakfast. All right? So is Mosek Gimel Sudas a point where you say it kicks in? That's when you're acting too much like a bialim and you must get rid of it.
The day of grace.
Day of grace.
24 hours worth of grace. Great, like an insurance company.
Well, so then the question is it a question? It's a day, but then if a day's worth of food, but then the argument, I can do whatever I want with it. If that's the idea, I can wait 2 months. Mm-hmm. I don't have to eat it right away, or must I eat it this day? So the Rambam's language sounds to me, if you don't have people to eat it, so how do you punctuate that sentence? If you didn't find, giving it to three meals worth of meat, you're giving it to people to eat. That's what it means. They're oichle. That's their title. If you didn't find people to eat it at the shas of beer, it means they're going to eat it then. Or if you didn't at the time of beer, you didn't find people to eat it, but they can do whatever they want with it once you give it to them. So is b'shas of beer modifying the oichlim or modifying you? If you, at the time of beer, couldn't find other people to take it, you must destroy it. Or if you couldn't find people to eat at the time of the beer, so how do you read the sentence? Not clear. The Radvaz assumes in the Rambam that you do not need to eat it right away. As long as you give these people Muslim Gimel Sudas, that's a shear when the halacha of beer kicks in. Under that, there's no din of beer. It's just such a small amount, there's no din of beer, and you may keep it. See, even you yourself can keep Muslim Gilman Sudas, and you do not need to do it. You can wait. It's not clear in the Rambam, but that's how the Ravaz assumes in the Rambam. There's a sefer called Derech Emunah from Chaim Kanievsky, which it's a Mishabura type of a sefer. It looks like a Mishabura, but he's at Sound Hilkos Zeroyim, so there's no Mishabura, there's no Shulchan Aruch, because it's Zeroyim for the most part. He uses the Rambam as the top, and the Purushim on the bottom are his. Now, it looks like a Mishabura. You have the main explanation and the more extensive notes and the footnotes. But the Rambam is on top. So the Rambam, in Derech Emunah on Shvita B'Yovel, he raises this question. Must you consume it in that day? And he says it's not very, besides the Radvaz, there's not really too many, if anybody talks about it. He's Madaik from a Chazanish. The Chazanish seems to hold Holochomais, you do not need to consume it right away. So this is very relevant to my esrog. So I'm going to take my esrog, I'm going to make it into esrog jelly. Now, esrog jelly sits in a jar and sits and sits and sits, you know, and keep it till Rosh Hashanah, I don't know. Well, the problem is, Zman of beer is Shrat. So that's very nice, I want to keep it till next Rosh Hashanah, but Zman of beer is Shrat. Okay, but how much jelly do I got? Do I have Mosen Gimel Sudas are worth or not? See, if Mosen Gimel Sudas must be consumed that day, that's very nice. I have Mosen Gimel Sudas. I have, you know, I just have a little bit of jelly, but I got to consume it during by the end of the beer time period. But it means I'm allowed to keep it afterwards, as long as the amount that I have is less than Mosen Gimel Sudas. Don't they hate? Keep it for as long as you want. So, how do you define Mosen Gimel Sudas for something like jelly? You would define it as the amount you would use as a condiment on the bread. The meal is a certain amount that we assume a normal amount of a meal of bread is 3 or 4 bayams worth of bread. So how much jelly do you need to smear on 3 or 4 bayams worth of bread? A kebay is about the size of a slice of rye bread from a 2-pound loaf, you know, the big slices. So 4 slices of rye bread, how much jelly do you need to smear in it? That's one suda. So I get 12 slices, I get the jelly for 12 slices worth. And that's my grace period. I can keep it as long as I want, according to this red vase. And according to Rabbi Kanievsky's understanding. So make a lot of esrog jelly, I got to have a problem. Make a little bit. So what do I do? I have a lot. Just I can keep some for myself. I can give some to you, and some to you, and some to you. Everybody gets Mosen Gimel Sudas, and that's it. There's no chiyuv beer. But if I didn't do that, then it becomes osur. Then it becomes osur to use. Right? But the amount of Mosen Gimel Sudas I'm allowed to keep. So that would come out, l'chara halacha l'maaseh, so that should be mutter. Now, the next question which you need to talk about, are you allowed to make esrog into esrog jelly? Right. So now, I'm skipping some pages over here because I talk too much. just very quickly, pages 5 and 6 just deal with, and 7 deal with, do we look at this idea of beer being a way to accomplish, should be achila being a way to accomplish beer, or it's a different concept that we brought out. So pages 5 and 6 are from the Mikdash David, and number 7 is from the Taurus Zeroyim. Mikdash David was from David Rappaport, Zetzal, it was one of the Shivas in Baranovich. I think it was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shmom. And besides being one of Shiva's and Baranovich, he wrote a sefer Mikdash David on Hilchos Roim and on Hilchos Kachshim. Again, areas which were not so well described. He wrote a very, very important sefer in this area. And Taurus Roim is from Reb Aryeh Zev Pomeranchik, who was one of the primary talmidim of the Mishkan Rav. The sefer has a unique status. It's one of the few swarm that the Brisker Rav gave a Haskama to. So he also raises this question: do we look at achil as a form of beer? Okay, now let's look at page 8. It's also related to Mrs. Resnick. Shalva Resnick. I think it's her uncle. The Torah's Roim. Shvius nitl achila l'shtiyav l'sicha. Shvius can be, you can eat items, you can drink, and you can even anoint. You can make olive oil, and you can use it as an oil to rub onto your body. Lechol davar shadarcha lechol. V'losuch davar shadarcha losuch. You can, what is normal to eat, you must eat. You can't use it for anointing. What's normal to anoint, you can use for anointing. You shouldn't be using it for something else. Well, Yosef Yain Rechaim, therefore you can't take wine and rub wine or vinegar. Avosachu is a shaman. Oil is made for that purpose. That's normal. That's a normal usage for oil. You might use it for cooking. You also might use it for smearing on your body. That was a common for them. A person wants to take vinegar and swish out his mouth, clean out his mouth from a toothache and spit it out. He's got a problem. Can't use it for that purpose. That's not what you normally use vinegar for, and therefore it's a problem.
What's the Torah provision that this is related to?
We'll see in the Rav in a second. We came to Chumah Maaser Sheni. This applies also to Chumah Maaser Sheni, that it's only given for Achila, Shtiyah, and Sicha, and you have to use it in the normal fashion. Shvius also has a leniency that you can use it for halakas and there. If you want to take oil from Shvius and burn it in a lamp to benefit from that, that's also mutter.
You can eat, drink, or smear with truma.
What's he, I'm sorry?
Can't eat, drink, or smear with truma.
You can eat what's supposed to be eaten will be eaten. What's supposed to be drank will be drank. And what's supposed to be smeared will be smeared. I'm not following you. The person who's supposed to be using it, the Kayan, what does he do with it? I'm not talking about a Jew or Yisrael, but the Kayan, what's he allowed to do with it? He can eat it, drink it, and anoint it. Right? Make sense?
Nowadays?
In the Mishnah, I'm not talking about the Mishnah, I'm talking about nowadays. Yeah. Okay.
The Shvius applies to now.
That should too. Okay. So we have this halacha. So where does it come from? It comes from the Gemara, which I'm not going to get involved in the Gemara. There's a drush of the ochlo below the hefset. That the parashvit and given the ochla is given to you to eat. So Chazal understand that means to eat and not to in some way waste it, etc. So the Chacham understood that means so using something in the normal fashion is called ochla, and using it in an abnormal fashion. So it would be if I want to eat unripe fruits well, that's a waste. Let them ripen and eat them as ripe fruits. Well, I'm eating them. Yeah, but you're not using them in the best way you could be using them. That's also some level of hefsed. So taking something which is normal to eat and drinking it is also, in a certain sense, a waste. So you can't waste peiros shviyas. That's where the halacha says peiros shviyas, a person using peiros shviyas for havdalah, a person using wine for of shmitah for havdalah, so you can't extinguish the nair because he's making that wine will become unusable. So you're being mafsed that wine. So if I want to take something which is normal to eat and then liquefy it, or vice versa, or, you know, something which is normally drank and I want to eat it, that's, in some level, that's something which is improper. I want to take something which is normally eaten raw and cook it. I'm not allowed to cook it. Well, that cooking diminishes in some way. Something which is normal to eat, be cooked, then I'm allowed to cook it. As a matter of fact, eating it raw might be usur, because that's a waste of the item. Instead, you could eat it in a much better fashion. So, cooking wine, pasteurizing it, so that's a question in the poskim, is pasteurizing mutter and shemitah wine, because you're diminishing some of the wine. And preferred in Allah, because they don't pasteurize it. If they do, they use these flash pasteurizations, which don't diminish, etc. It's a closed system. But that's an issue of cooking wine. So now, I want to take my esrog and I want to make it into... So now I have a question. I have this rule of I have to use it in the normal fashion. And I can't do it, be mafsid. I can't be mafsid it. So the Mora talks about examples of being mafsid something, which is going to be pages 9 and 10. That there's an isser. Let me tell number 9 quickly. It's blocked off towards a little bit after the middle of the page. And most in perishrius, lo the mishra, below the kavusa, you can't take perishrius and use them as a soaking agent, and so to soak something in. You can't use it for a washing agent to wash something which a reshiyamer most, and you could use it for those purposes. So we have this machloikas, whether you can use it for these purposes. My time in the Tadakama, or Merkro, the Ochla, below the Mishra, below the Kusa. You have to eat it, you can't use it for these other purposes. My time in the BRC, or Merkro, the Chem, the Chem, the Chot, the Chem. It's for you, whatever you want to do with it. Shabbos, or it's Lochem, the Ochla. So that's, so it's the same Pasik. So do you stress the word Lochem and ignore the word la'achla? You stress the word la'achla and you ignore the word lochem. That's the question. The Morris is going to say, obviously the question is, each tana, what does he do with the other part of the pasuk? The Morris gives answers for that. But the Morris clearly says, it agrees that that later on the Morris says, la'achla b'la l'malugma. So la'achla b'la l'malugma was that they would take they make a plaster and put it on a wound. So how they make the plaster? They would take kernels of wheat and they would chew them up. They become slightly mushed, and that would act as the plaster. So you can't use it. You can't do that with perishrius. You have to eat it. So there clearly is some drush of things that you're limited to do. So Morris says, so what's the rule? So Morris says that the rule is ahulachem dumida la'achlam misha nosu biuroi shova. That achila, the consumption of the item is the hanoah, and it's also the end of the item. But if you're going to destroy the item in such a way that you only can get benefit afterwards, that's not a valid usage for perishrius. If it's going to be simultaneous, it is. So halakas ner, you light the oil, the destruction of the oil and the air happen at the same time. I take malugma and I chew it up, and I basically made the item unusable, and then I put it on my arm. Well, that's not at the same time. That's not biur and shav. So anything which is going to make the item unusable, and the benefit only comes afterwards, that's not mutter. Anything where it's going to be simultaneous is going to be mutter, as long as it's considered normal. So I want to make it the jelly. So that's a normal usage of it. The item is still there, and then eventually I'll put it into my bread and eat it. Fine. I want to make it the esrog liqueur. That's a normal usage. I think the assemblage is considered a normal usage. That's fine. I want to take my esrog and I want to make it in a pincushion for cloves and use it for havdalah. So by doing so, the assumption is that you make it not usable anymore as a food. But the benefit only comes afterwards. So that's not our normal usage, and even if it would be our normal usage, I don't know whether it is, but it's not hanasim b'yurin shava. If it's not hanasim b'yurin shava, so it's not going to be permitted. So I can make esrog jelly, I can make esrog liqueur. Then I have a question: do I have it in beer? I can make it, but then I have to keep my eye on the calendar. So the answer is Malsin Gimel Sudas, which we spoke about, that it might be a heter. Last point. So I'm not making any esrog jelly out of it. I'm not going to destroy it when it comes in. So do I need to preserve my esrog? Or can I just let my esrog sit out and rot, wither on its own? So that's permitted. This is to be mafsid. If it happens on its own, that's mutter. So I leave my esrog out and it withers to the point where it's no longer edible at all, so there's no chiyuv beer. So yeah, the esrog eventually dries up and becomes very small. It's not really usable as an esrog anymore. You know, nobody can't eat it anymore. So there's nothing left to eat, etc. At that point in time, you can just... It doesn't have any chiyuv beer on it. You can just take it to the Dvar Mitzvah. So the Dvar Mitzvah, the loch is, but it wasn't, itself doesn't have kedusha. So the loch is, it can be nizrak and a derech kovet. You don't have to put it to Sheamus, but you can't throw it out in a way which is insulting. So you can double wrap it and throw it out with the, you know, throw it out. That would be the heter for that.
Keep it as a decorative.
If it shrinks,
yeah.
If it gets to the point where it's not functional as a food anymore, that's a form of beer as far as we're concerned.
But for this one, you still think that even though it'll probably shrink and become unusable as esrog before
Shva.
Before Shva, yeah. Then you now have a an item that you could use. It's not food.
Yeah.
So what was the problem of putting the clothing beforehand?
No, because there's a problem that you're being mafsid. You can't be mafsid by your diet.
Okay,
you're
being mafsid when it's still
usable. You want to wait till then? You can't do it then. I mean, okay.